Welcome to A Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Dear listening friend, the lesson today that we have in mind is directed primarily to those who are not yet Christians. Maybe they've thought about it. Maybe they've even planned to become a Christian. But I want to make a plea today for you to make the decision to become a Christian. We're persuaded that it's logical and reasonable to decide to be a Christian. You see, when God made man, he made him free as a moral agent, capable of making choices and decisions, of doing his own thinking, of reasoning and understanding. Alongside this power, however, there's the necessity of making the right decisions. And making decisions, of course, is very personal. It's a very individual matter. Especially is that true when it comes to the matter of man's relationship with God. Now, there are many things in life which we must decide. And we must decide for ourselves, one by one. And this attribute of the ability to decide, it can be to man's glory, or it can be to his undoing, depending upon the decisions that he makes. So I'm pleading with those who are not yet Christians about the decision to become a Christian. Now we know that all who travel life's highway, there are times when we come to a crossroads and we must decide which direction our lives are going to take. Now we reach the forks of the road, and we must decide either go left or go right. And many decisions in life are relatively trivial. They're not so significant. They don't determine all of life. And if we make a wrong choice in some small matters, well, that can be easily rectified. That can be corrected. There's no real harm done in a lot of the things, even if we decide incorrectly. Other decisions, however, they're far more important because they not only affect our present life, they affect the future in this life, and even more seriously, it will affect our eternity. Some decisions, if they're made incorrectly, they cannot be so easily corrected, if at all. We can spend a lifetime sometime reaping the results of a wrong decision. So decisions have a very deep and lasting and even an eternal effect, so that we must carefully and intelligently make them. Now, there is no decision more important than the one we make regarding Jesus Christ. Now, that's true, friend. Whether we realize it or not, whether we believe it or not, that's still the truth. Our decision affects every area of our existence. What will you do with Jesus? And on this decision hinges your path in this life, how you're going to live your life, the influence that you'll have on other people. It will influence the associates that you make. It will determine your eternal destiny. And this is a decision that cannot be evaded. It cannot be avoided. It is a matter that must be resolved one way or the other. Now, many decisions, they can be bypassed, and they can be postponed without any too serious effect. But postponement in the matter of Christ is equal to rejection of him, friend. Christianity allows for no middle ground. Attempts at neutrality, they are futile. We either decide for Christ, or we're deciding against him. Now, in the Old Testament, Elijah came before Israel at Mount Carmel, and Israel at the time wallowing in a state of indecision, just like some folks today are in indecision concerning Christ. It's you to whom I address these words. Elijah said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." You see, Israel was condemned and rejected because they would not decide for God. And we're rejected if we do not decide for Christ. Years earlier, Joshua had confronted his people in Joshua 24. It's recorded that he said, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." But now listen to what he said. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now that's what you need to decide, friend. You need to decide to serve the Lord through Christ. Moses called Israel to make decisions. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, he said, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Can't you see, friend, that Moses was telling them only the right decision would be their preservation? But our Lord has said in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And again it's recorded that he said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." We would insist, therefore, that these passages urge people to make a decision. It demands that we decide for Christ. Once sufficient knowledge of Jesus Christ is known, friend, refusal to obey is nothing less than rebellion against the authority of God through Christ. God does not expect or even want decisions based on ignorance. Before one can come to Christ, there's a certain knowledge that he must understand. He must know that God exists. He must know that Christ is God's Son. He must know that he is lost in sin. He must know that he cannot save himself. And he must know that Christ is the only Savior, and that we come to Christ his way in order to be saved, or otherwise we will remain lost and condemned. Now, that way demands faith in Christ and repentance of sins and confession of Christ and baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. God, through the Apostle Paul, declares, "Now is the day of salvation." Now, once a person has this knowledge, to refuse to submit to the will of God is to bring upon himself his own condemnation because he remains in his sins. Friend, I'm persuaded that's not really what you want. If those who want to do the things that are right, you don't want to remain in sin. Every moment that one remains out of Christ, he remains in the spiritual kingdom of Satan. You see, there are only two spiritual kingdoms. There's God's kingdom and there's Satan's kingdom. Those in God's kingdom are those who have left the power of darkness. They've entered into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1 and verse 13. And God only expects us to do that which is reasonable. Well, friend, it's only logical and reasonable and sensible for a person to surrender his will and his life to the Son of God. God created you. He has a right to call upon you to serve him. We owe our very existence to God. Is it not reasonable to serve our Creator? The creature is expected to serve the Creator. We know that life is brief. We know that someday we shall die. It's appointed unto man once to die. We know that we'll then stand before God in judgment. Everyone is going to give an account of his life. Is it not reasonable, therefore, to be prepared to meet the Lord at judgment? And the only way to make that proper preparation is to come to Christ, because salvation is only by and through Christ. neither is there salvation in any other, the Apostle Peter preached, recorded in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Christ is the only way of salvation. Was there ever a time when we realized that we just live in this life, that this is all there is? What if there was no hereafter? What has a person lost by coming to Christ, even if there's nothing after this life? He would have lived the best life he possibly could live in the imitation of Christ. But since we can know there is life after this one, what is he lost if he does not come to Christ? Now hear me, friend. He's lost everything. Coming to Christ and deciding for Christ is a matter where we have everything to gain and nothing to lose. To refuse to decide for him, we have everything to lose and nothing to gain. I would persuade you that indecision is an attempt at futility. It's most dangerous. Every time, every day you do not decide for Christ, you're giving Satan additional opportunities to captivate your soul forever. Every time the appeal of love of God strikes your heart and fails to penetrate, only makes it hardened and easier for you to refuse him. This can happen even until the truth and the love of God has no influence on you. Every delay is a vicious gamble of your soul and your eternity. Only Satan tells you that you have plenty of time to come to Christ in a brief moment. Your time, your life, your opportunity for salvation can be snatched from you forever. Like in the days of Noah, God's Spirit will not always strive with you. He does now call to you, however, through the gospel message. My dear listening non-Christian friend, you could yield to the Lord's Son and no longer risk your soul. We also suggest there's another reason for you to decide for Christ, and that's for your influence upon other people. Now, this is not a trivial decision. Yes, it involves you. It involves your present life. It involves how you live. It will determine your salvation. But it also involves your influence upon other people. Fathers and mothers are usually held in high esteem by their children. Yet, many parents are influencing their children to follow them right into the jaws of an open hell. On the other hand, parents should be creating a favorable atmosphere and lending encouragement to their precious young to live their lives righteously in the service to God that leads to the heavenly home. It's worth considering becoming a Christian because of the impact you make upon those around you. In Matthew chapter 7, we have a description from Christ of two men who built houses, one on the sand, the other on the rock. The one built on sand was by the foolish man. He heard the word of God, but he did not heed it. And that's just like a lot of people today. It's just like maybe you. Even today, you've heard the word of God. You must give heed to it. On the other hand, there was the wise man. He built his house upon the rock, and he is like the one who heard the word, and he obeyed the word. He did the will of God. Now, which one is going to characterize you, dear friend? I'm pleading with you as tenderly and kindly and urgently as I know how. Decide for Christ. That's your eternal benefit. That's what will lead you to the eternal joys of heaven with God and all the redeemed of all the ages. You need to become a Christian. You obey the gospel. God will add you to that company of the saved, which is his church. Remember to fear God. Keep his commandments. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.